doing is, I just want to finish up or continue from the piece of the Rav. Okay, were you here? The Sveikseka thing, you were here. Okay, so I want to review it and then elaborate on it, you know, expect maybe further clarify a point or two, and maybe we'll bring down a Rambam, because the Rav is explaining Rashi and the Rush. But it seems to me it's not everybody. It doesn't seem like it's the Rambam. Okay, so what's the basic thing? So the basic background here is that you have Chada. Yeah, so basically you have this halacha of Chadash, which is it's the new produce. The new produce of a given year is Asar until Pesach, that's it. Okay, so this year's produce is Asar until Pesach, until they bring the Karban Omer. Okay, fine. Now, let's say you have produce, which, let's say so a month after the Omer, and you're not sure whether or not the stuff is, whether or not it, from after, see if it grew after Pesach, now it's Asar. Because all produce is Asar until the Omer comes along. Okay, so if it grew after Pesach, so then it's going to be Asar. Because you have to wait until it goes through an Omer cycle, through passes an Omer. So if it took root, because when it takes root after Pesach, then you've got a problem. Okay, if it took root before Pesach, then it's okay, because there's nothing. So it's Zafik. So you say Chomer, is it the Raisa? So the Rashi says Sveik Sveika. Sveik Sveika means like a double Zafik. He says maybe it's really old Tvua from last year. And then it'll be Motor, because it's Motor, you know, it's Omer. And even if it's this year's Tvua, maybe it took root before Pesach. In which case the Omer is Matir also. So the Kasha.
Sveikas cancel each other out.
Well, the idea is when you have a double Zafik, it's Motor. You have a right to be making one, it's double suffix. So the question though is, it's not really two sveikas, it's one suffix. Maybe it's from before the Omer. You could say maybe it's from last year, maybe it's from this year before, but either way, they're the same thing. They're both basically saying, maybe it's from before the Omer. Right? You say it's last year, or from 2 years ago, or from 3 years ago, or from 4 years ago, you can make a million suffix. But the point is, it's all one suffix. Maybe it was before the Omer, maybe it was after the Omer. If it's before the Omer is matir. If it's after, it's also. Right? So that's the question. How's it a sveika? Right? Okay. So basically what the Rav wanted to show is, he developed this from Rashi, that there's two different ways that Omer could be Matar, that produce could be Matar. Two different ways, even though the Mishnah states anything which took root before the Omer, is Matar, there are really two different ways in which that happens. Okay? Two different ways. One way is if the thing, so here's one premise, is that the Isser of Omer, the Isser of Chadash, of new produce, is only Chal once the thing is at least a third of the way, a third developed. Which then it has a status of a pre, of a fruit, or of Tvua. And once it has that status, then the Isser Achila of Chadash kicks in. Now, if that happens before Pesach, now the Chafsa has an Isser Achila, then the Omer is Matir that. The Omer removes that. It is a Matir of that Isser. Okay? That's one thing. So if it's last year's produce, from last year, it was whatever, and it reached, it became Tvua from last year, then the Omer is Matar. But if it didn't really reach a third, let's say you planted right before Pesach, it didn't really reach a third, so it doesn't have an Isser of Chadash, because it's not a pre. It's not a pre, it's still on some underdeveloped thing. So therefore, there is no Isser Chadash. Right? So you can't Matar the thing, there's no Isser. So why then don't you say next year when it grows to a third, it should now become Asar. Esar should emerge, and now you should have to wait. Right? Because now, then it'll be new, then it'll be Chadash, and there's no Matir. So he says, no. Because the halacha of Chadash is new stuff. Not old stuff, new stuff. New means this is its first year. So if, when's the changeover for the year? Is the changeover for the year? Is the Omer, is that date. So if it took root before Pesach, so and then the Omer comes along, then it's now a second year item. And the second year item is an Asar, it's Yashon. So even if it becomes a third at that year, then it's still going to be a mutter. Because it's true, and now it becomes no, and now it becomes a fruit, but it's already old, it's already 2 years old. So therefore it's mutter. So there are really two different ways where something from before the Omer can be mutter. One is that it became Aser because it had a Shalesh, it was a third, and it became Aser, and then the Omer matered it. The other way is that the thing is never Aser in the first place, because when it becomes a fruit, it's already 2 years old. Okay, so there's, and then he says, maybe the thing is mutter because it's old but had a matir. And even if it didn't have a matir, but maybe it never has a in the first place, maybe it's yashon. Okay, that was the basic move of the Rav. Okay? Good. You were here or you weren't here, Phil? Okay, but you found. Basically. Okay.
So, I mean, it's pretty
simple. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay. Now. Fine. Now, one thing is, just to make it a little clearer,
what's the
one question which emerges, which you could ask, and we answered, but maybe we can answer even a little better, is that you could ask the following question. You could ask, is that if you're going to tell me that the chadash is only on a pri, on a fruit, and therefore the Isra chadash doesn't chal until the fruit is a third of the way done, because that's when it's defined as a fruit. So then, in the first year, if it takes root right before Pesach, so it's not a fruit at that point, right? So then it becomes a fruit in the middle of the second year, but that should be considered its first year, because that's really when it becomes a fruit, right? So this should be first year. Why is that called second year? Because it took root before. Who cares when it took root? If Chadash goes by, you know, but only Chadash only applies to fruits, because the Isra Chadash only applies to fruits and Isra Achila, so why are you defining the years based upon when it takes root, which is before it becomes a fruit? Right? So we asked that last time, and we had an answer. Okay, but I think we say a better answer, which is, this is along the approach that Matt was trying to take. But I think you just have to, this is an interesting way to think of the whole Isra Chadash and the Matir of the Omer. Okay? So how do you look at it? It's like this. And we looked into the agriculture a little bit. So the way it works is that you plant. There are these things like these planting years, agricultural years. Okay? And the way it works is that you plant the stuff during the, let's say, before the winter. Usual way it works is you plant the stuff before the winter. Right? Before the rainy season, before the winter, then it basically grows, and then comes along Pesach time, and you start harvesting it, and then you start eating it, right? Harvesting it, eating it, and then by the end of the summer, you start again planting for the next year, right? Okay. So at any given moment, it's so to speak, it's like two seasons. It's the planting season for next year, and it's the harvesting season for last year, last year's produce, right? That's the way it always works. Is that, and like once you're harvesting, now it becomes officially anything which you plant. Like let's say on Pesach, after Pesach. So you're harvesting last year's produce. And anything you plant is now part of next year's crop. Right? It's next year's. And that's why anything which grows, you can't eat until next year. Because now it's this year's produce, you know? So the Isra, you with me? So now the halacha of Chadash is like this. What's the Isra of Chadash? Is that you're not allowed to eat a fruit or a wheat during its planting year. But you have to wait until its harvesting season, till next planting year. Because that's what Chadash means. Chadash means it's new. What does it mean, new? It means it's in its planting year. And there's an idea of these years of planting, right? So this year's planting season goes from this Pesach until next Pesach, right? And I was planting, I plant the stuff, and before the winter, and I can continue planting. And the planting season ends when the harvesting begins, because the harvesting is reaping the benefits of the planting, right? And when the harvesting begins, now it's that planting season ends. Within the beginning of the harvesting is the initiation of a new planting. And whenever I'm planting, it's always associated with one year or the other year. So the halacha is that I'm not allowed to eat a fruit during its planting season. That's what Chadash means. Chadash means a fruit which exists, which is during its planting season. Rather, I'm only allowed to eat Yashan. Yashan means I'm allowed to eat fruits of last year's planting season. old fruits. Old means they're not of this planting season. You with me? So to speak, it's in the planting season. There's the planting season, and then there's the harvesting, eating season. And the eating year, the planting year, and the season isn't the right way to word to use. This, each season is a year. So you're not allowed to eat a fruit. Chodesh means a fruit. You're not allowed to eat a fruit in its planting year. Whereas there's a season that lasts for a year. So in the year, it's planting year, you're not allowed to eat it. But you have to wait until the next planting year. So then when it's in the next planting year, so you're eating old stuff. Old means it's from last year, last planting year. So maybe just to give Jonah mentions is that in general it's going to be smaller, less developed or something like that, right? Because it's not, well, it's early, it's like in the early growth. It's not as old, not as aged, right? There's an idea of age. There's new and there's aged. Jonah mentions is that in general it's not going to be so fully developed. And there's another thing which I saw, which we were doing about Matzia and Rabbi Shir, is that in general the produce gets better when it's older. It's aged because it's what happens is that it has more moist. I think it's that it has more water in it. It's more water in it when it's young, and when it gets older, it dries out a little bit. When it dries out, it's better to make flour. It's better to that's what they say. It's better to make flour with it or to make it, you know, because the water, I guess, the water content in the wheat or whatever makes it not as good. So when it gets older, it becomes a little better.
Better
age it better because it loses the water content, so it makes more flour. You know?
For wheat.
But I think the vegetables also you can make flour out of it, whatever. But it's so yeah, wheat is what we're talking about here, you know? So perhaps it sounds as if it's saying, and this is like perhaps the philosophy here. I mean, there's different ideas you could say, but it just points to the idea is that you're not allowed to, so to speak, preempt. There's a better time to eat it. Okay, is it hard for you to hear me? Yeah, it's good? Okay, it's a better time to eat it. It's going to be better in a certain season, which is next year. When it gets old, it's better. And the halacha is you're not allowed to preempt it and to eat it when it's worse. Okay? What's the idea? It's like you're not allowed to say, listen, I'm really hungry and that looks really good to me, so now I'm going to eat it. But you're chayev to wait. And this is what's interesting, is that it's almost as if it's telling you that you're chayev to be an intelligent farmer. Okay, but you can't. There's a smart way to be a farmer, is not to be aroused by the fruit because it looks good and you're hungry and you want to eat it. Rather, the intelligent way to do it is to wait till it's ready, and don't jump. Don't jump too quick and eat it now because it's going to be better later. You with me? So what the Torah did is, and this is like I think an interesting thing which the Torah does, is I'll give you another example and then I'll explain the idea. Which is like kosher, right? So halachas of eating kosher. You have to eat kosher. Can't eat treif. So what's wrong with treif? So there's different explanations, okay? So one explanation is the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch, and many Rishonim held this way, which is that the non-kosher animals were unhealthy, okay? A treifa is like a deathly ill animal, and eating that could cause you to have some sort of an illness. And the pig and these animals also have certain unhealthy things about them. And it was like their science was that these things were bad for you and they'd hurt you. Okay, they were harmful. What?
They are, like, I know we did in one of my bio classes one time, we looked at the anatomy of, like, different animals.
Right.
And the teacher happened to show us that a pig's digestion cycle is like, something like 3 or 4 hours.
Really?
As opposed to a cow, which has 4 stomachs and, you know, processes the food a lot better.
And therefore it's...
And therefore, a pig, a lot of times, when it's breaking down the food, like, will still have... The pig still has a lot of the toxins that are still in its body.
So therefore it's not as healthy?
And, yeah, in its meat. You know,
really?
And that's... Yeah.
That's unhealthy.
It is very unhealthy. Yeah.
This is a Jewish teacher or no?
She happened to be a Jewish teacher.
But she wasn't trying to defend
the Torah? She wasn't, like, she just mentioned it as like a...
Passing.
Like a
really? So there are studies that it's actually less healthy or...?
Yeah, I've seen even like on YouTube like videos of like...
That's unhealthy, really? Okay, so look, whether it's true or not nowadays is a different question. You know, whatever. They held it was true. And maybe it's still true. And someone was also telling me that There's another thing is that that farming pigs is like code breeds disease or whatever. Because they have mud and dirty and filth. So it's not only the eating it, but just the idea of you have to, in order to eat pigs in general, you have to breed them. And that's also could cause diseases. Whatever it is. But the point is not so much that the question the facts. That's what they held the facts were, and that's how they explained the mitzvah. Right? So the question, what turns out is kind of interesting, is that you end up having the situation that the Torah, it's almost like the Torah, first of all, what is every single thing, like that's it, I'm going to die from eating something not kosher, or does it, like it doesn't always work out. You know, not, like you could say in general, as a trend, but I think the idea, and this is, I once heard of Chaim Che talk about this, I'm elaborating a little bit, which is that the main idea of the Torah is that of treif, is Kedusha, is the idea that a person should control his instincts. Okay, like it's not, for instance, dangerous. It's not saying it's dangerous to eat pig. It's just the more healthy. So the main idea is that a person should control his instincts. Is that a person's taiva shouldn't just be like totally uncontrolled, but you should control them. But now the question is, how do you control your instincts? Just arbitrarily, Torah just picks, you know, a bunch of random things and says, do this, do this, do this, do this. So no. There are particulars. The Torah chooses a way. There could have been 1,000 different ways to say control your instincts. The Torah chooses a way which points to a concept. So according to the, according to this, the Chinuch and those who say that's health, the idea is that control your instincts and eat healthy. But it doesn't, the mitzvah isn't to eat healthy. The mitzvah is to follow the halachos, machalos, asuros, to follow the halachos. But the halachos point you to a concept that the control should be in line with the objective of eating, which is health. So you should be an intelligent eater. And so it points to the idea, the fact that these are healthier foods, points to the idea that your control shouldn't just be an arbitrary control, but it should be an intelligent control. The value of control is because you're being rational. Rationality doesn't just say pure control because of the sake of arbitrary control, but it means that you should. It's rational to eat certain foods, it's not rational to other foods, it's rational to eat healthy in a way which is good for your body. So the Torah set up a system of mitzvah. But the mitzvah points to the concept that the nature of your control should be based upon a rational idea of health. So that teaches you the proper idea of control. It's not just a random thing. So whatever, when they discuss the particulars, it's because some others say it's not because of health, but it's because the animals have a certain bad midah and it teaches you whatever. The point is, these things are secondary reasons. In other words, you have to control yourself, but the way the Torah chooses to do it is based upon particulars which point to ideas. Point. So Chazal say a person shouldn't say I don't like pig, I can't eat pig, but I say I want pig, but God doesn't let me. So that sounds like it's saying it's arbitrary. There's something wrong with it. What I'm saying is it's not. It doesn't mean. This is what I think is important to look at. It doesn't mean pig is dangerous, like it's poison. It's not poison. Just like red meat isn't poison. But red meat is not a healthy thing to eat on a regular basis. There are dangers, there are risks in it, or there are certain things about it which partake of health risks. So it's not. I'm not saying red meat is the same thing as pig, but the idea is that in general, pig or the what they held was that it was not as healthy. Okay, in general, these things posed a certain risk or were less healthy. So it doesn't mean if you should say, I hate pig because it's terrible and it's poison. It doesn't mean that. But it means it's the more healthy, the animals that the Torah allowed are the more healthy animals. And the particular of the mitzvah, when I control myself, it points to the idea that I should control myself because eating, I shouldn't just follow all my taivas in eating, but I should eat rationally and intelligently. What does rationally and intelligently mean? In a way which is in line with your health and with living a life of Avodas Hashem. Supporting yourself and not just following whatever looks appeals to your palate. So it points you to an idea that your control, in your control, it's not just that I have the ability to control myself, but the control should be tied in with rationality. If a person just randomly controls himself without ideas, then what's that? That's not, there's no value in that, just arbitrarily choosing every once in a while to just not eat something. The point is the underlying idea of the control is that it gives the person the ability to decide to eat rationally. And decide to live life rationally. So it points to an idea. What does it mean to eat rationally and to control your taiva rationally? So there's halacha, but then a person should also eat healthy. Now, eating healthy isn't the mitzvah, but it's a result to the keeping halacha should point you in that direction. They should eat healthy. So the guy follows the halacha of eating kosher, but he's a pig and he eats like crazy, unhealthy, destructive stuff. He's not violating the technical halacha, but he's violating the idea of eating of the kedusha. He's like the Ramban says, he's a minhag b'shus Torah. Halachically it's fine, but you're totally against the whole idea of the Torah. So technically speaking, the point of the thing is to teach you a control in your appetite. And control means that you should be rational about it. Now that means don't eat like a pig. So the mitzvah doesn't just give you, by having the mitzvah whose content is health, according to them, I'm not saying there's, you know, everyone's in that position, it points you in a direction towards what does it mean, health? Eating with control yourself. Control my eating. What's wrong with eating? So it shows you an idea. Well, health is to make your body strong. Your body being strong is important for you to be able to think and to be able to live a good life. So now it shows you an idea that your control, that you and as opposed to eating in an uncareful way, will lead you to illnesses and to sickness. So it's not that the particular pig, you should say, if it weren't usser, there'd be nothing wrong with eating pig once in a while. Because it's not dangerous, it's not poison. Just like there's nothing wrong with eating red meat once in a while. You just shouldn't pig out on it. You shouldn't abuse it. But the Torah made pig, wanted a part to make halachos and restrictions, and it shows something which points to the idea of health. I'm not saying that the Torah wants a person to be healthy, and in the Torah, this is the Torah's Atkins diet, or whatever. That the primary idea is to make a person healthy. I'm not saying that. So the primary idea is to teach a person control. Kedusha, that his mind controls his instincts. But how does your mind control your instincts? Just by arbitrary things and arbitrary choices, just God declared the thing? Or is there the idea that your mind controlling your instinct in the area of the appetite should be tied to a concept that eating could be abused in a way which could destroy you? Eating could also be used in a way which is supportive of you, and it's an important thing to do. So by having the particulars of the mitzvah be things which point to health. It doesn't mean you can't have a kosher animal which is unhealthy or a treif animal which is healthy. Maybe camels are treif, but they're very healthy. But as a general class, these Rishonim are saying is that these are healthier and these are unhealthy. And it points to the idea in a general way. It points you to the concept of when you're controlling yourself, it brings to mind the idea of health. The idea of health means the idea that food could be harmful to you and could be helpful to you. Food is necessary. It gives you strength. Gives you the ability to have a good life. It also has risks and dangers. A person could eat unhealthy, could eat too much, could overeat, and those things could really destroy a person's ability to live a good life. So now in his control, it contains in it, and it points him to what does it mean to eat rationally and to control yourself. It doesn't, eating with control doesn't only mean eating kosher and not eating treif. It also means eating healthy. It also means exercising. It also means living your life in general in every area in a rational way. So the mitzvahs do is they give you a particular thing which shows, teaches you control, but control, again, control has as core living a rational life and eating in a rational way. And all mitzvahs are like that. So I'm not saying it's always easy to see the particulars, but I'm saying those Rishonim maintain that a reason, I don't think they're saying it's the only reason, but they underscore this reason as a health thing, which may, again, you may, there may other Rishonim say different ones, and you may say nowadays it's true. You may say, it's not true. Gilson thinks it's true. But whatever. That's not my point. My point is that how did they understand the mitzvah? Not as a diet. It's an idea of Kedusha, but Kedusha should be tied to a rational way of living, not just to arbitrarily following the rules that God set. Now, God set the rule. Of course, it's God set it, and that's why it's not just eating healthy. It's the way God set it up. But the way the setup points you to a concept. So, you'll find another animal which isn't healthy, but God didn't set that up. He chose a system which points to the concept of health. Doesn't mean kosher is health. Kosher is not health. And treif isn't poison. Kosher is control. But control should contain the concept of the proper way to relate to food and an improper way to relate to food. The thing is like this, is that the Hashem told us the mitzvah. Now, the mitzvah is studied, like any mitzvah is studied by the Baal HaMisora, and they try to understand the Tamei HaMitzvahs, and they speculate as how to understand what are the benefits which the Torah, which the mitzvah gives to a person. and they're limited in their ability because they're human beings and they don't ultimately know the depths of God's knowledge, especially in an area like a chok, which like kashrus, the particulars of kashrus are chok. So man, but at the same time, man, just say, look, I don't understand, so forget. No, you investigate. And many Rishonim were involved in trying to determine Tamei HaMitzvos. And to understand them, it's just you, it teaches you ideas and it helps you benefit. And when you're through the doing of the mitzvahs, then instead of relating to it just like a set of rules, it helps you underscore ideas of the Torah which you could benefit from and have on your mind when you do the mitzvahs. So that's beneficial. And the Chabal HaMitzvah do that, and they should do that. And when they did that, they looked into the animals and they determined that kosher animals actually are healthier than treif animals. And therefore they said, wow. So God did this. This is an idea which is implicit in the kosher and treif in the Torah. Now, I don't know that it's false. Again, Gil in his science class, they told him yesterday or whatever that this is still true. So, I mean, maybe you could, I'm sure there's arguments about it and, you know, whether it's not ridiculous science. It's not, apparently it's not totally outdated, but...
It's definitely not.
Definitely not.
Like, even pigs, like a pig is a scavenger, you know, a pig will eat another dead animal.
Right, and the dead animals breed diseases and...
Exactly,
right.
whereas all the kosher animals...
Are not.
They only eat vegetation.
Right. Yeah, right. So that's good. And so what's good is that, but like the question is, could you work it out with all the particulars or not? The point is, doesn't have to be the only reason. It could be God could have 10 reasons built into the mitzvah. But this is one concept, which is a good concept. And when you have this concept, now when you're keeping kosher, you could relate to it in a more intelligent way, in a way that could benefit you and your control and your condition in other areas. So whether, even if it was disproven, the science was disproven, which is possible. Again, I don't think it's true in this case, but even if it were, it doesn't undermine the idea. The Valimisora, insofar as they had that idea, the idea is true that your control should be based on health. Whether or not that was how God chose the particular or not doesn't matter as much as when you do the mitzvah, now you have that idea, and it's a true idea, and if you incorporate it into your life, you benefit, and the Torah is, you know, helps you benefit. But of course, you can't just make up crazy reasons that don't seem to be true based on your science, but that's... These things are in Mishina, and this is up to the, you know, the Misora, like the Albani Rishon, Mefarshim, you know, the postulate, Tamei HaMitzvos. Yeah. There's a Rambam, in, I think it's in the end of Temura, who says about Tamei HaMitzvos. Mitzvos are deep, but he says, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but or a lot, but he says that when an area where you could give something a reason, Tein Lo Tam, you should give it a reason. What does it mean, Tein Lo Tam? I've already talked about this, but means even if you don't know, you can never know, this is the reason. The reason. There could be a lot of reasons, and that's what like the Sefer Chinuch, the Rav explained. The Sefer Chinuch says, from the roots of the mitzvah. It doesn't mean this is the reason. These are the roots and the underlying benefits which are tied in with the core of the mitzvah. So if you could come up with that, now insofar as you have some idea about it, now when you relate to the mitzvah, you don't relate to it in like a childish, you know, ritualistic way, but now you have a concept to relate to it. So your Siyas HaMitzvos now engages your mind and engages you in proper ideas. So it benefits the way you relate to mitzvahs. So it's good to relate to mitzvahs in a way where you have an intelligent way to look at it, as opposed to just relating to it as some ritual or some just arbitrary law. It's better to relate to it that way, and the mitzvahs are now a vehicle of bringing you to proper, to good ideas. Either look, you got it. It doesn't mean you're not accurate. It's speculative. It's not. If you know that it's wrong and it's bad, it's bad. See, what's wrong is speculative. It's speculative. It's not solid. You can't prove it. But there, if it's a solid idea, the idea is false. It's a bad idea. See, the idea that you should be healthy is definitely a true idea. Is that what God did? God, was that built into God's intent, so to speak, in the mitzvah? Maybe yes, maybe not. We don't know. But the idea is definitely a true idea, and it's definitely a true idea in the Torah, in the Derech HaChayim, and so far, the mitzvahs are designed to bring a person as to incorporate true ideas into your life. So God didn't tell us the particular time, but He did tell us that we should think about mitzvahs, and these are the mitzvahs help us that we condition ourselves, we live in a way that we follow halacha, and we think about true ideas. So this, insofar as our minds tell us animals healthy, not healthy, then when we do the mitzvah, we'll think about that idea. And that's in part of the design of the Torah, that the mitzvahs reflect your ideas. But you can't go back to ancient science and nowadays and say, oh, it teaches this idea that, whatever, I don't know, that bloodletting is a good thing to do.
When I typed into Google...
know what you're doing. First of all, you're doing halacha, it's not appropriate to just start doing these kinds of things, because halacha is halacha, and you need to find halacha. So, but now you want to think about a mitzvah, and you're doing a mitzvah, and you want to know the benefits of the mitzvah, so you can think, and you have a right to speculate, and understand that it's speculative, and know that, you know, don't make yourself think that it's solid when it's speculative. And you have to know, you know, you have to be taking good steps, and you have to be certain that your ideas are true. You know, again, there's a difference between saying you're not sure if your idea is true. If you're saying an idea which may not be true, and you're deriving it from the mitzvah, then speculation doesn't give you a right to do that, because maybe it's a false idea. So you can't prove your idea from the thing if it's speculative. But if you know the idea that eating healthy is true, and you just don't know whether or not necessarily that's what God designed, had in mind, so to speak, then there's no harm done to you by thinking about that idea insofar. It's definitely in line with the purpose of the kosher, of control. And certainly a feature of control is the idea of thinking about health. And we do the mitzvah, you'll benefit by doing that. So a person, that's what Ram says, if there's no time, you should give it a time. So Ram's advising to do that, to think about that. But I mean, you have to be, of course, you have to be thoughtful about how you do it. But as long as you, I think, as long as you realize that that's being speculative, and you don't have more confidence in a thing than thinking dictates, then it's fine. Okay? So with that in mind, So maybe we could explain Chadash in a similar manner. That's what I said before. But the saying is that a farmer should, the Torah will place the restriction on your eating of grain. You have to realize that your grains are from God, and you have to control yourself. And the Torah gave you a restriction in how you eat grain. Okay, so it's also part of Machal Zasura's Chadash. Right, so maybe an idea is that it's not intelligent, similar to unhealthy. This is not unhealthy, but it's unintelligent as a farmer to eat your grain before it becomes good. Like if you have wine, let's say you're trying to age wine, and you can't control yourself and you drink the wine before it ages. That's stupid. You can't control yourself. Control yourself.
Even eating unripe
fruit. Unripe fruit, exactly.
That causes you, like, digestion problems.
Yeah, digestion problems, and also you're not going to enjoy yourself as much. And the Torah wants you to enjoy yourself. So fruits could be yummy, but now you're going to eat the thing before you... before it ripens. It's not healthy, and you cannot enjoy the thing. It's not the right way to do it. Why are you doing it? Because you can't control yourself. Wait a day or two, eat something else, and be intelligent. So this idea is that the person should be intelligent about the way in which they farm, and a farmer, that's part of his life, his lifeline, his sustenance, is how he lives. So it could be what saying is that, again, this is speculative, but I think it makes sense, is that Chadash is not as good. It's not as productive. There's a case in Bava Metzia, I forget where it is, Samach, Nun Chas around something. It's like this thing is that you get more flour out of the old wheat because it dries out, it dehydrates, and the moisture makes you get less flour because, I don't know, whatever. It's moist.
It comes together,
whatever. It's not as good. So what you do is you age. The way you do it is you age the thing, and then it gets better. So Yashan grain is better. Of course, it can't go too far because then it's going to spoil or whatever. But Yashan grain is better. Chadash grain isn't as good. But you could imagine a farmer sees the grain. Oh, I feel like a strong farmer, and the grain looks good, and it looks fresh, and I want to eat it. And you could hurt yourself as a farmer by doing that, by giving into that kind of taiva. So it's a stupid taiva, but you know, we get instantaneous gratification. It gets a guy, and you can end up making mistakes by doing that. So it could teach a farmer who's involved in the motions of conquest and bringing in his fruits to be able to live intelligently. So it's a mitzvah to control yourself, yes. But is it just arbitrary control? Torah could have just said, Yashan could have said, Chadash could have said, don't eat things that are blue, don't eat things that have polka dots. I mean, maybe it could have done that, but it would seem to be that this is a particular which actually points to an idea. Be an intelligent farmer. Don't be a stupid farmer. You don't control your desire for instant gratification and save the grain so that you'll have the better grain. And every year, you'll always get the better grain. If you eat every year as a grain, right, when it's there, so then you'll end up every year. You'll just keep doing that. You always have inferior grain, inferior wheat, inferior flour, less flour. But as opposed to if you manage to store things up, I guess somehow the first year you're going to have to get started, but as if you store things up, you think you plan ahead for the future and you invest, it's like investing, that kind of thing. You invest for the future. Don't use all your money now, because then you're not going to have money to spend in the future. You're never going to be able to buy a house. You can always put your money into an apartment. You're never going to build up savings to buy a house. I don't like these kinds of things. But so these are the Torah's lessons are not just control yourself because you have to control yourself. It's control yourself because it makes sense to control yourself. Control means that if you just follow your instincts, you're going to make mistakes and you can do stupid things. And if you control yourself, you'll have the ability to withhold your desire for an instant gratification, and you'll be able to make good decisions in life. So now when you do the mitzvah, it won't just be an exercise in self-control, an arbitrary self-control, but an exercise in thinking, I have to control my instincts because that's how I'm going to be able to live a good life, and I'm able to make good decisions. I'm not going to fall into bad decisions. Because I know instant gratification and my lack of control is going to cause me to make bad decisions. Like right here, I'm going to eat my good produce before it ages. I'm going to eat unhealthy food, and then I'm going to end up harming myself because I can't control myself. So the mitzvah, insofar as you do the mitzvahs, now you could be thinking of these ideas and these benefits, and that could really improve your life and allow you to live a better life and make good decisions beyond the particular decision, I'm not going to eat pig today. And I'm not going to eat chardash today. But now I'm going to be able to live a life of an informed and irrational life, and I'm going to end up having a better business and a better life with my family and friends, and I'm going to be able to control myself. I'm going to be healthier. Right? And it's through these things that the Torah really points you in a direction of living a rational life, which will have its benefits in every area. You know, so the mitzvos are a particular set of laws, but they point you to a direction of your life, and which has much greater applicability than the mitzvahs themselves. And that's why the Novel Brishas Torah is the bomb. Because he's basically following the halachos, but he's totally going against the whole purpose of the thing. The purpose of the thing isn't in the particular mitzvahs. Of course, you have to follow particular mitzvahs. But the whole objective is the perfection which arises from the thing. And he's just working his way to get around all the technical halachas, and he's missing the whole benefit. I mean, it's important, because sometimes we get caught up. I mean, it's like you can't ignore halacha, and you have to be very didactic in halacha. Yeah. But sometimes, some people are just lax about halacha, and that's wrong, because God wants us to use chachma and halacha. You have to follow your mind and following halacha to that degree. But sometimes when you do that, you lose sight of the fact that that's not the end-all of the thing. The end-all of the thing is the perfection, and chachma means control and using your mind. But if you just follow the halacha and you forget about how it affects your life, sometimes you could get too, you forget, you know, you lose sight of the big picture. So that's also bad, you know. So you have to, you know, I'm not saying you should be lax about halacha, because that's part of the thing, is you have to be tight, you have to be concerned, that's what the chachma dictates. But at the same time, it's important to see a bigger picture as well. The middle of Bashar's Torah may also be a stickler about halacha. You know? I'm not claiming it's always a good idea to wait. Sometimes it's a good idea to eat right away because it's better, and if you're going to wait because you can't, whatever, you know, you have a desire to save and whatever, then that's also not good. I mean, at different times, maybe there's even a mitzvah like that. I don't really know. But I'm sure there is. I just can't think of one right now. But certain scenarios say that a person should act now and eat the thing and don't wait till later, because now's the time. If you can eat, you know, you can't eat your fresh steak because, you know, you want to save it for later, and then now's the time to eat it. Now is when it's good. It's fresh. Don't always save food for tomorrow. There's an idea of using your thing today. You're going to save forever. You keep saving, never spend any money, then you're never going to enjoy your money. What are you doing? So there's living rationally has many different principles. One principle is this, and in Chadash is like, sometimes things are better to wait. And instant gratification is bad sometimes. And it's harmful, and you'll enjoy yourself more, and you'll have a better life if you could hold it, if you could just hold it in. So hold it in. It's a good idea. Important idea. So Levi's saying is another idea in the Omer is recognizing God, as the Sefer Chinuch says, recognizing God as the source of the Omer, source of your produce, and Lashem Ratzim Loa, and the Omer is the matir of the thing. Which is, the reason what I'm saying is that there's two things. That's good for the peiros which were done, had a shlish before the Omer. And there's an iser, and the Omer is matir then.
Uh-huh.
But now, what about the peiros which basically were not a shlish, and there was no iser Omer? They just took root right before Pesach. So there's no iser, and there's no matir of the carbon Omer. But simply the reason why I'm allowed to eat them is because they're yashan. There's no carbon, there's no matir, there's simply no iser, because it's not chadash. The iser is only on chadash.
Right.
So there's a further idea in the idea of chadash versus yashan. So it's true, once something is chadash, it becomes asr. It's the new produce, and now that makes it asur. And now the matir is, when I eat it, I recognize the idea of God. And that's another facet of the mitzvah, is recognizing God as the source of all my produce and all that. But I'm saying is the idea of chadash versus yashan seems to have an existence outside of the matir of the Karban Omer. The matir of the Karban Omer is a matir on chadash. But what's chadash? Chadash is, there's an idea that it's new. What's new is supposed to old, you know? So they're both true. I mean, that's the idea. I mean, in Talmud Mitzvah, there can be multiple ideas involved in a mitzvah. And they could all be true, and even if they're not, but this is, you could gain an idea. This is an idea, but it seems like it's a different particular. So I'm saying from this other particular, it points to that idea. What I'd like to do next, I guess tomorrow, is back to the halacha of the sugya here, is that it seems to me is that the Rambam doesn't agree with us. It's not so simple. The Rav is making it sound simple, but it's not. It doesn't seem to me that it's so simple. And it seems like the Rambam, for instance, holds its asur to eat it even before it becomes a shlosh. And you'll see. Oh, there's a Gemara. That's what I want to. I have to try to find sources for you. It's kind of a little bit all over the place, but hopefully I'll try to send out sources if you're going to prepare.